Always winter and never Christmas. Could you imagine how hopeless that would feel? How sad that would be? How joyless that would feel? I mean, for us, winter is a sign that Christmas is on the way. Winter is a sign that Christmas is almost here, that it's coming. But not so with Narnia. Comes from a book series by C.S. Lewis called The Chronicles of Narnia, where he sought to explain the things of God in a way that even a child could understand, and it's so profound. In this one particular book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Narnia finds itself trapped in an unending winter, freezing cold temperatures that never let up, the sun unable to break through, and Christmas, celebration of it, is forbidden by the evil queen. And the creatures of Narnia, and Narnia animals can talk, they long for something to change. They long for something different. They long for the warmth to come through and to break through the dark of winter. They long for winter itself to end. They long for the greenery to break through. They long for joy again. They long to celebrate Christmas again. And while they long for something different, the creatures of Narnia are not without hope. See, the story goes on as Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy continue on through Narnia. They eventually learn about this lion named Aslan. And Aslan is the metaphor for Jesus in the story. And there's prophecy about the coming of Aslan. And they don't know exactly when, but Aslan is the only one powerful enough to end winter for good and to defeat the evil queen once and for all. So there's prophecy that he's coming, but they don't know when and they don't know how. So they're left hoping and waiting, hoping and waiting. And until Aslan comes, in Narnia, it will always be winter and never Christmas. So they just wait. Now, Narnia is a made-up story, but it reminds me of a story that is truer than true. The very Christmas story. In fact, the story of Narnia reminds me specifically of the centuries leading up to the first ever Christmas. You see, Israel, the people of Israel, they found themselves in a very similar situation, waiting for this Messiah, waiting for this king that was promised to them to be born and to come and to rule and to reign. See, our Bibles are broken up into two major sections, and they were very creative when they titled these. The Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament is all about God's dealings with Israel, establishing a relationship with the nation of Israel and establishing them as a nation and as a people and wisdom literature and how that all played out in the world at the time. And then the New Testament is the coming of Jesus and about his life, his teaching, his death and resurrection and the launch of the early church and what that means for you and for me. And a major component of the Old Testament is the prophetic literature. There were prophets that God sent to Israel and to the world at the time with messages. And one of the things that many of these prophets prophesied about was the coming of this Messiah, the coming of this king, Messiah, the deliverer, the one that would come and rule and reign and rescue Israel from being kicked around by all the other oppressive nations as if it were a rag doll. That suddenly this king would take Israel to a place of prominence and they wouldn't be bullied anymore. And one of the prophets, one of the most prominent ones, Isaiah, he prophesied multiple times about the birth of Messiah. And there's one in particular that I want to look at. Isaiah chapter 9, he prophesied this about the birth of Jesus 700 years before Jesus was actually born. And actually the verse that we're going to look at is the memory verse for all of our Upstreet students, okay? So if any of y'all know this, K through fifth graders, y'all can say it with me. The adults definitely won't. But it's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Yeah, I knew that was coming. I was here for it. That's okay. That's okay. I'm here for it. You never thought you could say that at big church, huh? Now you can go tell your friends. That was awesome. I'm glad you did that. I wanted someone to do it. If you don't know what that means, Merry Christmas. I can't help you. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This was no ordinary birth. No, these were massive expectations. These were promises that held significant weight. This was a king that would change everything for Israel. This is a king that would be a mighty God, an everlasting father. His kingdom and his reign would have no end. He would sit on the throne, and there would be no nation, no power that could hold a candle to this king that would rule over Israel. They would enter into prosperity. And God promised that this king and this Messiah was on the way. Then you get to the end of the Old Testament. And the last prophet to prophesy in the Old Testament is a prophet named Malachi. And then after Malachi prophesies, there's no more prophets. You get to what's known as the intertestamental period, the time between the Old Testament and the New. The time between God's final prophecies to the nation of Israel and the coming of Jesus. And in our Bibles, the Old and the New Testament are separated by just one little page. In fact, moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament isn't a big deal. It's all kind of one big story. We move from the Old Testament to the New Testament as quickly as we can flip one page of our Bibles, about half a second. But historically, this one page between the old and the new represented 400 years. And not just any 400 years, but 400 years where God was silent. 400 years where there was no prophecy, there was no messenger, there was no angels, there were no signs. 400 years where Israel heard nothing from God. There was nothing, it was just silence. And you have to wonder, generation after generation after generation, if at some point they started to wonder, did God forget about us? Is he still there? Did we misunderstand these prophecies? Do they still hold true? Did they have an expiration date and we just missed the label? And with every passing generation, no Messiah, no word, no Messiah, no sign, no Messiah, no more prophecy. All they had to hold on to was what God had promised in the past. Their only hope was that God would ultimately come through on what he promised. And so they were left to hoping and waiting, not knowing how, not knowing when, hoping and waiting. And kind of like Narnia, where it was always winter and never Christmas. Until the promised Messiah, Jesus, came, it was always going to be winter and quite literally never Christmas. And if you were to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as Peter and Susan, Edmund, and Lucy continue on their journey and they find their way in the story, they start to hear from various animals this phrase that gets repeated. Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. And the more that that phrase gets uttered, the nearer Aslan gets. And the nearer he gets, stuff starts to shift and change in Narnia. The snow starts melting. The freezing cold temperatures of the never-ending winter start to rise. The sun starts to break through. through. The greenery starts to sprout and spring starts to make its way forward. As Aslan nears, hope is on the rise. And what we have in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke that record for us the story and the details of the birth of Jesus, for us, it's all one big story. We have no concept of time. But as God begins to break his silence, little by little, angels and signs leading up to the birth of Jesus, hope begins to rise. Angels start appearing, foretelling about the birth of Jesus. You've heard the story, an angel shows up to Mary and gives her the unbelievable news that she's going to give birth to the promised one. She's not even married yet. This would have derailed everything. And then the angel shows up to Joseph and is like, hey, listen, bro, this is gonna be crazy, but just be chill about it. It's my translation, it's somewhere in the text. And he was chill about it. He went with it. And he stayed with Mary. And then an angel shows up to the shepherds out in the field. Angels show up and they look at the shepherds and they say, hey, listen, we've got great news that will cause great joy, not just for Israel. It's way bigger than that. It will be great news that will cause great joy for all the people. This was so significant because God was breaking his silence. He was breaking through and hope began to rise. For centuries, it was always winter and never Christmas. But then on this one cold, starry, silent night, Christmas came. Winter ended because Jesus was born. And with the first cries of a baby, God's voice was heard again. Not from a prophet or a messenger, but from God himself, because this was no ordinary child. This was God who took on flesh. As Matthew, the gospel writer, tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he says, all this took place, all that has happened, all the details and the angels showing up and everything happening the way that it happened, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. In other words, all of this took place to prove to all of us that God will make good on his promises. He promised to the prophets and now they've been fulfilled. And then Matthew quotes a prophecy that has been fulfilled by the birth of Jesus, another prophecy from Isaiah, from chapter 7. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Because that's what the birth of Jesus was, God with us. The birth of Jesus was God breaking his silence and speaking hope to the world. The birth of Jesus was God breaking his silence and ending winter and speaking peace to the world. The birth of Jesus was God breaking his silence, ending winter and speaking joy to the world. The birth of Jesus was God bringing salvation to the world. Here's what's true for all of us. And here's where this Christmas story intersects with each and every single one of us, whether you're a person of faith or not, because this is just a part of the human experience. We will all experience seasons of winter. Seasons and moments of difficulty, seasons and moments of unmet expectations, seasons of waiting, seasons of disappointment, experiencing seasons of loss. And you might find yourself in the middle of a winter and you're wondering, is this ever going to end? Where is God in all of this? Season that leaves you hurt or disappointed or scared or discouraged. One that might leave you with more questions than answers. And maybe some of you walked through a winter this year. Maybe you're walking through one right now. What's true for all of us is they lie ahead. On this side of eternity, winters will come. And we will all in those moments and in those seasons long for something to change. But the story of Christmas reminds us that something has already changed. Because when Jesus was born, what that changed for you and for me is that no winter we will ever face will we face alone. Because Jesus was born, there is no winter we will face that is unending. And because of the hope that we have in Christ, there is no winter that does not have spring at some point on the other side of it. Because God's silence was broken. And Christmas is the reminder that God came near. Love made a way and hope took on flesh. And the invitation of Christmas is to trust in the one who came, to trust in the God that is with you, to trust in the God that sees you and has certainly not forgotten about you, to trust in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus who came to rescue you and me from our past, from our sin, from ourselves, and to lead us into new life, free, full, and forever. Christmas, in that sense, is not just a time to remember. It is an opportunity to receive. Receive the gift that is the hope of Jesus. And when we receive it, there is no winter that we face that is without hope. And when we receive it, there is no winter that we face where the darkness will overcome the light. We started with the profound story of Narnia and the journey of Peter and Susan and Edmund and Lucy and Aslan. But I found it fitting to end our time together reading the true story from which Narnia ultimately came from. The Christmas story. The story that changed everything. The story of the birth of a king. A story so faithfully preserved for us in the gospel accounts of Matthew and Luke. The story of a savior that did for us what we could not do on our own. The story of hope taking on flesh. The story of love making a way. The story of light breaking through. The story of the faithfulness of God. The Christmas story is told by the gospel writer Luke, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. The time came for God to make good on his centuries-old promise. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. God broke the silence. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, rightfully so. God yet again breaking the silence, and hope starts to rise. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news that will cause, that will result in great joy for all people." It is great news for all people. No matter what you're walking in with today, no matter the baggage you're walking in with today, no matter the past you're walking in with today, the faith background or the lack thereof, no matter the presuppositions you're walking in with today, no matter the doubts you're walking in with today, this is great news for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the one that's been promised. He's the one Isaiah talked about, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, God breaking the silence. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they heard about it, now they've seen it. They spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And of course they were, because they've heard about this moment. Centuries have passed down the promises of this moment, and now he's finally here. Hope is on the rise. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God, I'm praising you and worshiping you because you really are who you said you were. He was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. The story of Christmas is a reminder that God does not just make promises, he keeps them. And he sent Jesus to take on flesh, to be near, to be hope, and to be light in the darkness. And no matter the winter we face, we will never face one alone. And no matter the winter we face, it will not be the end of the story, because the darkness can never, has never overcome the light. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. And thank you for the story of Christmas, the story that intersects with each and every single one of our hearts, the story of a Savior coming, not just for one nation, but for all people, to experience the joy of your salvation, to experience the goodness of your love, the life-giving nature of your way. And I just pray, Lord, in these next few moments, may you meet every heart where it needs to be met. And may the hope that is ours in the coming of Christ meet us exactly where we need to be met. Thank you that though winters come, we never face them alone. Thank you that though winters will come, they do end. Thank you for Jesus, the light of the world. It's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen.